Thank you for standing by. This is the conference operator. Welcome to the Sangoma Technologies third quarter business update conference call. As a reminder, all participants are in listen-only mode, and the conference is being recorded. I would now like to turn the conference over to David Moore, the CFO. Please go ahead.
Thank you, operator. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sangoma's investor call. We're recording the call, and we'll make it available on our website for anybody who's unable to join us live this morning. I'm here today together with Bill Wignall, Sangoma's President and Chief Executive Officer, and John Tobia, EVP Corporate Development, to take you through an update of how COVID has affected Sangoma. We will discuss the press release that was distributed yesterday and which is available both on our website and on SEDAR. Before we start, I'd like to remind you that the statements made during the course of this call that are not purely historical are forward-looking statements regarding the company or management's intentions, hopes, beliefs, expectations, and strategies for the future. Because such statements deal with future events, they're subject to various risks and uncertainties, and actual results may differ materially from those projected in those forward-looking statements. Important factors that could cause actual results to differ materially from those in the forward-looking statements are discussed in the accompanying MD&A, our annual information form, and in the company's annual audited financial statements, all of which are posted on SEDAR. With that, thanks again for joining us this morning, and I'll hand the call over to Bill.
Thank you, David. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us today. I have structured my comments into four sections. First, I will start by going through a detailed description of the impact from COVID on our business and how we've responded. Second, I will discuss why we feel Sangoma is unusually well positioned to withstand the storm from COVID. Third, I will cover very briefly the preliminary Q3 financial information we disclosed in our press release yesterday. And fourth, I will conclude by touching on forward guidance for this fiscal year. Following my prepared remarks, I will hand the call back over to David for our typical Q&A session. With that, let's turn to section one, how COVID has affected Sangoma and how we've responded. Given the truly unprecedented global crisis resulting from COVID-19 and the fact that many of our shareholders have been asking for information soon after Q3 has ended, we felt it was important to continue providing updates about the impact on our business. In this section, I'll describe the way COVID has affected us and how we've responded. Over the past several weeks, we've listened to many companies describe the impact of COVID on them. It's admittedly a very challenging thing to explain and can come across as a bit muddled in some cases. I think Sangoma has been able to capture this quite clearly by covering it in three distinct stages. The impact on our supply chain, followed by the impact on business continuity, and finally, the impact on demand. Sangoma has acted quickly and preemptively in those three stages, focusing on facts, not emotion nor panic, and by focusing on the things we can control and not being distracted by the things we can't. I will now go through each of the three stages in quite some detail. Stage one, the supply chain crisis. As you may recall, coronavirus first started to get attention in early January as it emerges in the city of Wuhan, China, part of Hubei province. The impact on the West and on the global economy is arguably little understood at this early stage, and initial fears are all about China as the world's factory. Sangoma has a fairly sophisticated supply chain for a company of our size, something that I've covered in detail in earlier calls like these with shareholders. And although our services business now represents about half of our revenue, the other part involving the sale of products does indeed involve suppliers in China. And thus, Sangoma's focus during stage one of the COVID crisis was to ensure we were able to get our products from our suppliers in a timely manner and sufficient quantities in a way that did not negatively impact our customers. During this period, our operations team was working very diligently with all links in the supply chain to make sure that raw materials were available at factories when needed, that our contract manufacturers could build, especially given this was happening during Chinese New Year, and that our suppliers could deliver to us across international borders, and we could subsequently ship to all of our customers around the world. This is perhaps not very glamorous work and not the type of in-the-trenches effort that we'd stand up and tell investors about while we're handling it. We know full well that you just expect us to deal with that kind of stuff, and that's what we did. Our teams worked around the clock, adjusting manufacturing schedules, moving raw materials around, negotiating with contract manufacturers, procuring fewer or more raw materials as needed, getting those raw materials not only to CMs in China, but also to our CMs in other parts of the world, including right here in Canada, dealing with congestion in shipping ports as they reopened. It goes on and on. This was a lot of work by many talented folks at Sangoma, working very long hours. In the end, this first stage of dealing with COVID lasted about 4 to 6 weeks for us. And most importantly, we were able to successfully navigate the substantial impact from coronavirus on global supply chains during January and February. Significant work by our teams ensured that virtually all customers were able to get their orders filled on time, and thus our revenue was not impacted in a material way as we wrestled the supply chain challenges during stage one. I'm pleased to share with you that Sangoma is now through that phase and it's now behind us. Again, no significant customer was impacted in any significant way, and I see this as a testament to our customer focus at Sangoma, and I'm proud of our team for this accomplishment. Stage two, business continuity, as the health crisis spreads. As concerns about the underlying health crisis begin to spread globally, and what we now know has become a very serious worldwide pandemic, stage two begins in or around late January or early February. At this point, it had become clear that coronavirus and the resulting COVID-19 illness is no longer a China program and is turning into the global pandemic we know it to be today. Sangoma's top priority during this stage had to be the safety and well-being of our employees while ensuring business continuity for partners and clients, much like many of your organizations, I'd suspect. The key question faced early in this stage was, what will Sangoma need to do to continue on in this new world? Like many companies, we gradually began to reduce business travel ahead of public policy, eliminating travel to large gatherings such as conference or trade shows, then cutting out non-essential travel, and finally all business travel. We instituted new policies such as no visitors to Sangoma offices, social distancing, hand sanitizer, and stay at home if you're feeling ill. And by early March, we had required all of our staff who could work from home to do so. We have now seamlessly migrated to this model with no material impact on operations. This was especially complex for a highly globalized company with staff in over 20 countries and about 25 states across the U.S., all needing access to the right systems, all at about the same time in March. Stage two lasted through February and March, and Sangoma has now fully adapted to this way of working, with 90 or 95% of our staff working from home, and only those who need to be in an office coming to work. As complex as that was, we benefited from the fact that we make many of the products or services that work from home staff need, so we know those tools very well. We are able to continue serving our customers who count upon us every day, perhaps now more than ever, for mission-critical communications. And this continuity of business operations in stage two includes maintaining innovation, of course, as demonstrated by the recent release of Sangoma's new line of headsets or cloud-based video meeting service called Sangoma Meet. Both of these are essential parts of a remote worker's toolkit, and many of you will have seen that we are offering this new cloud-based service free of charge during this pandemic. Stage two continues to this day, of course, but is also now fully under control, just as stage one was by the end of February. Any concern about the impact on our business from stage two is now also behind us. So let's talk a little bit about stage three. Sangoma describes stage three of the COVID crisis for us as the financial impact on the demand side of our business, due to government-mandated shutdown of businesses and the economy. We see this third phase starting to surface in March as the shutdowns began and lasting into our fourth quarter. Our management team and board have many, many years of experience managing through disruptive change. As a result, Sangoma has proactively taken action during this third phase to mitigate any such possible impacts. Those decisive actions include, first, we have already taken prompt, prudent expense mitigation steps to appropriately control discretionary spending, such as implementing a temporary hiring freeze in a company which is almost always hiring to keep up with growth, reduced and then eliminated business travel, scaled back on non-essential marketing program investments, eliminated investor relations spending, etc. We have adjusted our product roadmap in a very nimble way to reprioritize the launch of planned products earlier than scheduled, where they fit with the increased needs of employees working remotely. You may have seen the launch of the new line of headsets or Sangoma Meet, as I just talked about. We have launched numerous customer-focused initiatives to win new clients in need of improved communications during the crisis and to secure our existing customer base. Just a few examples might include special educational initiatives to the technical and IT managers at existing customers to explain how they can turn on or get working certain functionality they already had access to in their Sangoma systems but may not have been using, things like soft phones or conference bridges that became so important during work from home mode, or custom marketing to prospects who had older TDM-based on-premise PBXs that don't easily support work from home because such systems do not generally work if staff take their phones out of the office. Or campaigns to existing customers to explain capabilities they could add to their systems, such as headset or video meetings, to enable better remote worker efficacy. In Q4, we were enhancing our monitoring of incoming order flow to track this on a more granular basis. We do this by day now, enabling us to get better visibility faster than we'd had in the past to any revenue impact from COVID as early as possible. We are examining the various government assistance programs that may be available to us and will pursue those that are appropriate. And we are ready to step on the accelerator immediately as soon as the crisis begins to subside and, in fact, have already begun planning for back to work and any changes that may be necessary at our worldwide offices around the globe. This planning accommodates for enhanced social distancing, frequent cleaning, hand sanitizer, rules regarding employees with any symptoms remaining at home, and regular enforcement of such guidelines. The net result of all these actions is that we feel well prepared for phase three and have controlled the things that are within our control. Of course, as long as significant sectors of the economy are forced to remain closed, and as long as work from home measures persist in others, it is possible that any impact on demand for our products or services could linger. Having said that, you have likely seen in yesterday's press release that Q3 revenue for the period ending March 31st was solid and on track, and that's encouraging. So if there is a financial impact on Sangoma from COVID during this third phase, just what might that impact be? Sangoma expects the primary economic impacts on us could include some postponing of new purchases in the product half of our business and minor slowing of some customer payments. The reason we'd expect that any impact would be more likely to affect the product half of the business, more so than the services side, is because services are significantly more insulated given the vast majority of revenue generated there comes from existing customers rather than new order inflow. Given that momentum towards reopening of the economy is clearly growing, we anticipate any impact that could occur to be shorter term and temporary, but you'll hear more about that in my upcoming comments on guidance. At the beginning of this long first section of remarks, I said I'd describe first the way in which COVID has affected us and how we've responded by walking you through the three phases. I've now done that. I'd like now to turn to my second section of prepared remarks covering why we feel Sangoma is uniquely well positioned to successfully weather this COVID storm. Despite the uncertainties regarding the COVID-19 pandemic, as well as the resultant global economic crisis, and based on our current understanding of the pandemic, as well as the advice from health experts and governments, Sangoma believes we are unusually well positioned to weather the storm for the following seven reasons. First, Sangoma continues to operate in as close to a business as normal manner as is possible under these conditions because we are deemed an essential service under most all government rulings. We are thus exempt from the forced closures that so many businesses are subject to. Communications is always critical to business, and even more so with so many companies working remotely. We are proud to continue providing our products and services to so many customers who count upon them during these challenging times. Second, Sangoma has repeatedly demonstrated an ability to adapt as part of our team's core competency. Whether it was turning ourselves into a software company from a hardware business, or building out an entire portfolio from just a single product, or creating a fast-growing services business in just a few years based upon recurring revenue. This track record makes me confident that Sangoma will emerge from the COVID crisis ready to step on the accelerator. Next, we have a very large customer base that is heavily diversified on multiple dimensions, such as there is no customer concentration, and the largest customer represents less than 10% of sales. A geographically distributed customer base in over 125 countries around the globe. Many customer segments, including SMB, enterprise, service provider, and contact centers. Services revenue now accounts for almost half of sales and is more insulated. And we have customers across many verticals, including manufacturing, military, aerospace, government, retail, education, transportation, technology, etc. Fourth, a broad portfolio of products that appeal to many different users and needs, from connectivity to premise-based UC to cloud services such as UCaaS or trunking as a service. In-demand products that are critical in today's work-from-home world, including soft phones, headsets, audio conferencing, and the ability to take an employee's desk phone home and access UC services there in a way that matches exactly the way it does on their desk at the office. And now the recent launch of Sangoma Meet, our newest cloud service for video meetings, collaboration, and screen sharing. Next, an ever-present focus on the customer, enabling Sangoma to respond quickly and with empathy towards our clients. Our staff have been asked to be especially patient and supportive towards our customers and each other during these times of high stress. We will be flexible with customers, helping them beyond strict contract entitlements because we have the financial resources to do so, and we believe that how we handle them during these difficult times will be remembered in the good times. Sixth, an investment in innovation continues unabated by the crisis, resulting in our ability to reprioritize roadmaps and quickly launch new products, like you've heard about the new video meeting service, Sangoma Meet. And last but certainly not least, our now well-proven financial strength, which can be seen in a number of ways, such as consistently growing our top line over 20 straight quarters, generating about half of our sales in services revenue, which is more insulated, producing very healthy EBITDA, over $6 million this past quarter. We are cash flow positive. Sangoma has a strong balance sheet with prudent leverage, having maintained all principal and interest payments on all existing loans and continues to comfortably meet all debt covenants. And we are well capitalized. At the end of April, we have over $20 million in cash reserves to take advantages of opportunities that may arise, as well as being fully prepared for any further uncertainties during the pandemic. This includes a proactive draw of $9.2 million on our swing line and revolver facilities during April to further strengthen our cash position. For all these reasons, both financial and strategic, we strongly believe Sangoma is uniquely well positioned to weather the COVID storm. I will now turn to my brief update on preliminary Q3 results. As most of you already know, the timing of this release of preliminary financial data for Q3 is earlier than normal. We would typically release our third quarter results in late May, so we're about a month ahead of that now. This early release of expected revenue and EBITDA is an attempt to accelerate disclosure and provide investors with reassurance given the highly unusual global situation these days resulting from the coronavirus. Sangoma will announce our full financial results later in May, as usual, and this one-time preliminary update will not set a precedent for other quarters in the future when we expect to return to normal reporting cadence. Further, these are preliminary results for Q3 and in much less detail than a more typical quarterly call, all of which will still be covered in our regular conference call with you in later May. Sales for the third quarter of fiscal 20 are expected to exceed $36 million, more than 24% above the same quarter last year and an all-time record for quarterly revenue. That will place us at over $96 million year to date after 9 months. The company expects gross margin percentage to be about similar to that in the immediately preceding second quarter. And finally, third quarter EBITDA is expected to exceed $6 million, which would be an increase of greater than 80% from the same quarter last year. On a year-to-date basis, we are now over $15 million of EBITDA after 9 months. I'm very proud of these results this past quarter, especially given the unpredictable times we're living in these days. That brings my brief comment on our financial results to a close, and I'll now move on to our short guidance section. As you may have heard in our press release, third quarter results are anticipated to be in line with our previously announced guidance from February the 27th. Given our preliminary Q3 results have held up well compared to our expectations, our order backlog going into our fiscal fourth quarter was also fairly typical, and given our operations to date, we are cautiously optimistic that we are on track to meet our previously announced guidance for fiscal 2020. To remind you, that was revenue of $128 to $132 million and EBITDA of $19 to $21 million. Nevertheless, like so many companies these days, Sangoma realizes that business results during the April through June quarter are inherently difficult to forecast given the uncertainties introduced by the COVID-19 pandemic. Accordingly, we cannot confirm our full fiscal year 20 guidance at this time, and instead, we commit to providing a formal update to guidance in late May when we release full third quarter results. At that time, we expect to have better visibility regarding the reopening of the economy and the financial recovery in the various countries around the world in which we operate. I hope you found that rather long update on the impact of COVID-19 on Sangoma to be useful, and with that, I'll bring my prepared remarks to a close with a quick summary. At the beginning of my comments today, I mentioned I'd cover the impact of Sangoma from COVID in three phases to help structure what is a lot of information. I hope you found that explanation to be reassuring. We also covered the key reasons behind our strong belief that Sangoma is unusually well positioned to weather the COVID storm and come out the other side stepping on the accelerator. We have always sought to be transparent and fairly comprehensive with shareholders, so we hope you found the significant level of detail to be useful. You've now heard that our third quarter financials held up well, with record sales expected to exceed $36 million, more than 24% above the same quarter last year, and EBITDA is expected to exceed $6 million, which would be an increase of over 80% from the same quarter last year. Solid results, especially given the unpredictable times we're living in. And we closed off by sharing that we're cautiously optimistic we're on track to meet our previously announced guidance for fiscal 20 of $128 to $132 million in sales and $19 to $21 million in EBITDA, and that we'd provide a formal update to guidance in late May when we release full third quarter results. With that, I will turn the call back to David for questions.
Thank you, Bill. Operator, could you please explain to people how to ask questions, please?
Certainly. We will now begin the question and answer session. To join the question queue, you may press star, then one on your telephone keypad. You will hear a tone acknowledging your request. If you are using a speakerphone, please pick up your handset before pressing any keys. To withdraw your question, please press star, then two. We will pause for a moment as callers join the queue. Our first question comes from Gavin Fairweather with Cormark. Please go ahead.
Hey there, good morning.
Hi, Gavin.
So I just wanted to start on the Q3. In the past, you've called out any kind of larger kind of one-time orders, and revenue certainly was very strong in that quarter given kind of all the stuff going on. So curious if there was any kind of larger orders that hit in the quarter and contributed to the result.
No, I don't believe so. David, could you verify? No, nothing significant that would be worth talking about, Gavin, as we had in prior quarters when that happened.
Okay, great. And then maybe shifting gears a little bit to the guidance, and you talked about cautious optimism. So wanted to dig in a little bit kind of on your thought process. Obviously, April, would have been a slower month just given everything that was going on and the shift towards kind of work from home. So are you kind of, when you look at that, are you thinking about needing to see markets kind of opening up and kind of things starting to return to normal kind of in May and June in order to meet that, or just maybe expand on your thought process there if possible?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to be too precise on this, Gavin. To be honest, it's very ethereal right now for sure. As I said, I think we see, like most other people do, the tendency towards some reopening starting to grow. You know, 2 or 3 weeks ago, there was very little discussion about this. We've now got countries around the world that are more fully opened or starting to get there, a few states that are already there. So when we made the comment we did about cautious optimism, it for sure factors all of that stuff in. But we're not counting on the world being back to normal by any means, just that it's beginning to reopen to some extent in some places.
Okay, that's helpful. And then you obviously have a very global business. So is there any kind of anecdotes that you can share, in terms of in markets where we have started to see a bit of a reopening in terms of demand?
Yeah, nothing that I think is representative enough that I would choose to cite it and then regret it in a month at the end of May. We are seeing some of that. You're quite correct. But it's been too recent or too small yet for us to really use that as a predictor. You know, we've got, as I said, a couple of states that are saying we're open for business. We've not reopened the offices in those states yet, Gavin. Our staff in those places are still working from home. We've got a couple of countries in Europe that are a bit more open, and the staff in those countries are beginning to reengage with customers a bit more. But I don't think I should cite any one or two specific examples because I'm just not sure that, they're able to be used in a predictive way yet.
Yeah, that's fair. And then just lastly, before, I pass the line, you talked about being flexible with clients. So are you seeing, we've heard about this from, other companies, clients requesting longer payment cycles or discounts or deferrals. Have you seen that among your client base? And maybe just talk
we
about
have.
Your
we have.
Process on that.
But, yeah, we have, but it's a very little bit, to be completely honest. Our expectation is there'll be more of that in Q4. We've had some customers ask, but not very many. And our position on this has been, don't put up some fixed locked-in policy in a document or a website. Use it as an opportunity to engage with the customer, get to know them a bit better, build the relationship by demonstrating flexibility rather than, it being a policy decision. So that's the approach right now. That is what I expect to continue happening through Q4. There's no signs of a deluge of many, many, many customers coming in and saying, we want to delay payment. It's something we expect to grow somewhat in the quarter, but not to a huge degree.
Okay, this has been quite helpful, so thank you, and I will re-queue.
Thank you, Gavin.
Once again, if you have a question, please press star, then one. Our next question comes from David Kwan with PI Financial. Please go ahead.
Good morning, guys.
Hi, David.
It seems like you guys did a pretty good job, obviously, in Q3 here, so congratulations on that. Just curious, as it relates to the mix of the revenue that you saw in Q3, would it be fair to say that, given your comments on gross margins being similar to last quarter, that the revenue mix would be similar as well?
I don't think we want to get into that yet, because it's much earlier than we would normally be having this discussion. I'd feel a lot better about answering that question at the end of May, David. You know, we're rushing this information out to get you guys early disclosure, but the detailed revenue analysis, which we look at in so many different ways, you know, you got a picture geographic breakdown and product versus services breakdown and by different types of customers and different product lines, is just not done yet. So I think we should hold on that one. I'll note it down on my page here and make sure I return to it at the end of May.
Okay, no problem. I guess you provided the guidance, and we can try to back into it to a certain extent, but I was just curious any color you could provide as to how we should be looking at the operating expenses for Q4, obviously balancing, you know, the cost mitigation related to, you know, decreased travel and lower marketing expenses and the like, as well as any potential government aid that you might see. You know, how much of an impact could we see, at least say on a quarter over quarter basis?
I mean, I don't know how I would quantify that and you know, be in any way precise with you without tripping onto the we're giving guidance. You know, I tried really hard with John and David to come up with some words that we thought would give you the color you would find helpful, but stop short of saying, you know, here's firm guidance. You know, the world is just so unpredictable right now, and costs are part of that. You know, we can adjust costs based upon what we see happening in the quarter, David, and, you know, you've seen some of the changes we've made, but I don't think I should tie ourselves to a specific number of OPEX reduction. Maybe I could help by telling you which of the things you've listed that I talked about are bigger versus smaller, but I don't think I want to get into quantifying that and ending up, you know, being afoul of what is guidance or isn't. So of the things that we talked about, I think the two largest, maybe three largest, would be the hiring freeze. As I said, we're almost always hiring, right? So, John, you mentioned to me one time, I can't remember, was it 15 or 20 open recs that we would have had?
That's accurate.
Yeah, so you can do some back-of-the-envelope arithmetic on that. Secondly, I would say travel reductions, and third in line would be marketing program spend. So I think that's as far as I'd want to go, David, on, you know, your question without getting into specific numbers or percentage reductions.
No, that's helpful. Thanks, Bill. Just a few more questions. You talked about proactively drawing down on the revolver and the swing line. I guess question more for David. Can you comment, I guess, on the terms of that, in particular, what the rates are on those two loans?
So those are in our credit agreement, David. You know, we're looking at this on a short-term basis to make sure we have sufficient capital to take advantage of opportunities that arise, as opposed to doing something on a long-term basis. So our rates are in and around the sort of prime plus, depends whether we take the debt in U.S., we did in this case. Let me get back to you on the numbers, but, you know, our borrowing has always been in that kind of 4 to 6% range. This will be a little higher than the term loan, but not material. And, you know, remember, we've taken this for a short-term look at how we can maximize opportunities over the next few weeks as things develop to make sure that we can fulfill our supply chain requirements, that we have inventory to take advantage of sort of hot spots that we see in demand. So I think that, I'll drop you a note with the exact numbers. But the answer is, it's not material to what we're planning going forward, but we want to make sure that we have the cash availability, which is, you know, giving us some advantage potentially with competitors that we see out there. So that, so think of that as a shoring up, David. We'll see how this plays out. We don't know exactly what's going to happen over the next few weeks. It has been, you know, the world has started to open up. So we didn't know that even when we took the loans, but, you know, relatively recently. So we've shored things up. We've got a very strong position overall, and we're looking to leverage any opportunities that we see in the next few weeks.
No, that's helpful. So I guess is the plan to pay this back over the next quarter, by the end of this quarter, or maybe into Q1 then?
So David, we've decided that yet, David. You know, this is, you know, contingency planning for what might happen. Let's see what happens before we tell you what we're going to do with that cash.
Okay, perfect. Just a couple more questions. Can you comment on how the integration is going for VI?
Yeah, sure. Everything there is progressing kind of as expected. There's no big surprises from the last update we did in late February based upon Q2 results. More and more coordination of some of the functions. So think about, joint marketing or joint sales initiatives, opportunities from Sangoma's installed base of premise UC customers, adding in VI trunks, and the people at VI would tell you they've had more leads from that source of opportunities than anything else they've had the past many years. Discussions between the various network operations groups are becoming deeper as we think about how many data centers across the U.S. do we need, consolidating pricing for suppliers into those data centers. What else is getting more integrated over the last 3 months? I think those are the three biggest areas. The tech support groups are still quite separate, but marketing is really moved into Sangoma now and fully integrated. Sales is progressing along a path and more so now than it was at the end of February, and the same thing for network operations.
That's helpful. Just the last question. I guess given that the integration seems like it's going well at VI, any thoughts on, you know, potentially taking advantage of the current environment on making acquisitions?
Yeah, I think we can talk about that in a very general sense, maybe two or three thoughts. One is we have not stopped anything about the way Sangoma looks at M&A opportunities. So multiple conversations underway at any one time, working on progressing any or all of those in parallel. I don't really think we see, you know, the crisis as some, you know, amazing opportunity. Owners of quality companies are not going to all of a sudden say we think our company is worth 60% less just because the public stock market dropped. But for sure, it can have an effect on valuations to some degree. And then last but not least, I would say, you know, the biggest impediment to doing any of those if we get to the stage of being ready to pull the trigger would be what's happening in the equity markets. You know, we're very comfortable with access to debt and have good relationships with supportive lenders, but we'd need to know the equity markets are open. Seems like that's getting a little bit better over the last month, so that's encouraging. And we'd need our share price to continue recovering. I don't really want to be raising money at $1.60 or $1.70 a share, given we were at, you know, $2.40 just a few months back.
Okay, no, it's helpful. Thanks, guys.
Okay, David, thank you.
Our next question comes from Gabriel Leung with Beacon Securities. Please go ahead.
Good morning, Bill, David, John. Hope everyone is doing well.
Hey, Gabe.
Hi there. Two questions I had. So I think one of the main themes that came out of the last set of quarterly results was sort of, the placing of greater emphasis on recurring services versus one-time product sales, both, you know, from the customer and from Sangoma, perspective. I'm curious if you've got any updates on that sort of trend and whether the current COVID situation has sort of accelerated that trend towards, customers placing more, working with you more on a managed services basis versus purchasing on-premise products.
Yeah, I can make a little bit of a comment, but I also see the detailed part of the numerical answer to that falling into the same question as I kind of deferred earlier that, you know, we've not done the detailed revenue analysis yet because we are a month ahead of schedule here. But in general, I would say I don't think we've seen some massive shift, Gabe, from product to service in any huge way. What you can see is the point that I touched on during my prepared remarks, but didn't get into in any great detail, which is, an end user customer who's in the process of making a decision, you can imagine how that gets approved internally to their organization, right? We're typically talking to the more technical portions of that company, often the IT department. Someone in the IT organization is often going to someone in finance and saying, okay, we're ready to make a decision. And the bigger trend I would say to you is not shift of revenue from one to the other or services delivering some, you know, big spike in percentage of revenue. It's more about when that, you know, director of IT goes to a CFO and says, you know, here's a purchase order, and we've looked at two or three different vendors, we've chosen Sangoma, we've got a couple or three quotes from two or three partners, here's the one we're ready to go with. The reason I said that we could imagine the product half of the business being slightly more impacted is, you know, it's a one-time CapEx decision, right? And so, as you, Gabe, have heard me say in the past, now the CFO says, okay, I get it. Looks like you've done all the right work. You've picked a quality vendor and a competent partner. And normally I just sign on the dotted line for that, you know, whatever, $37,461 PO. But given COVID, let's wait a month. And I think on the services side, that answer is less likely to happen, because it's not a $37,000 one-time CapEx decision. It's a $1,000 a month over 3 years decision. And so although we've not seen this massive shift you're asking about, it's a little bit visible in situations where there might be a customer that's deciding, do I buy now or do I buy in a month or two?
Gotcha. Thanks for that. My last question is really around somewhat about operating costs. So one of the things we've actually heard from a couple of companies that we cover is, a lot of employees now are working from home. And so some companies have actually decided to consolidate some of their offices and sort of maintain that hybrid model. I'm curious if that's an idea that you guys have thought about as a way of, sort of permanently reducing operating expenses, if there's any thoughts around that on a go-forward basis. That's it for me. Thanks.
Yeah, that's not our plan right now, Gabe, to be honest. Partly, I guess, because we have so many people in so many different places, and it's not like we have one single office that's, you know, the big office and all the employees are there. I don't think it makes sense to close down offices to save a few bucks. I'm actually more focused on the opposite trend, to be honest. One of the things that we have talked about internally is how do we make sure that employees who might say, oh, I quite liked working from home, not going to the office, don't expect that to continue, because there's a lot of value in a company for which the primary asset is people, to having those people in one place, walking around, talking to each other, sharing ideas and creativity. It's not always the formal meetings in some conference room. It's, you know, I went to get a tea or a coffee and bumped into person X, and we were talking to each other about, you know, what we're working on. And I really don't want to lose that. So I think it's unlikely that we would prioritize saving a few bucks by closing an office above the benefits to the company of enhanced communication, you know, at the water cooler, so to speak.
Gotcha. Awesome. Thank you. Thank you for your feedback.
You're welcome. Thanks, Gabe.
This concludes the question and answer session. I would like to turn the conference back over to the presenters for any closing remarks.
Okay, firstly, thank you everybody for joining us this morning. I hope that it has provided a good sense of where Sangoma is at and our path forward. David, Kwan, could I just let you know it's US base rate plus 1.25% is the answer to information about interest rate. For everybody else, thank you very much for joining us. We will be recording this and putting it up on our website for anybody, any of your colleagues that weren't able to get the call live. And with that, I'll turn it over to Bill to say goodbye.
Thanks, David. Thanks, everyone. Appreciate your time, and we'll be back in touch with you within the next month for the fuller release. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.
This concludes today's conference call. You may disconnect your lines. Thank you for participating, and have a pleasant day.